Ballymena, the town reeling with the news that more than 800 jobs are to be lost. The Gallagher's cigarette plant has been earmarked for closure by its parent company, JTI, and the workers informed by the management yesterday that redundancies would be due to start in 2016. Let's speak to Alan Stewart, first of all, this morning, who's the president of Ballymena's Chamber of Commerce. Alan, good morning to you.
Good morning, Joel.
I would have said a lot of thinking and a lot of soul searching probably done last night by an awful lot of people in the town after that news.
Yeah, definitely. Now, people were very busy last night and up very early this morning just to try and absorb, I suppose, this sort of devastating news that broke yesterday afternoon.
Seeing as well, you know, we heard it on the news that the staff, a lot of staff, given a period of time off, worked to try and absorb the news. And, you know, JTI probably acknowledging how big a shock this is. I mean, first of all, directly, the staff themselves, and we saw many of them interviewed as they come out of work having heard the news yesterday. It's dreadful given what's happened already in the town, of course, with patterns in recent months as well.
That's right. No, this is unprecedented now for the borough. And I suppose our initial thoughts go out to those employees and families. Some of those employees have worked in Gallagher's, you know, for generations, and many have spent their entire working lives working there. So the challenge, you know, going forward is certainly to support those employees and looking at ways that we can reskill, retrain, and prepare those people for, you know, entering that job market again.
We'll try and sort your line out there, Alan, because it's sort of not great. We'll work on that, and while we're doing that, we'll bring the local MP and PSD Junior into the discussion. I mean, you've been warning about this for a long time, but when reality hits home, I mean, when you're looking into the eyes of those people when they're coming out of a meeting when they've heard this news, Ian Paisley, I mean, it could not have been a very pleasant experience for anybody there yesterday, having even to deliver that news.
Yes, good morning, Joel. My heart goes out to these very hard, highly skilled workers who have been given a real devastating sledgehammer blow about their futures. I met with many of them as they exited the factory yesterday. Many of them I know, many of them are personal friends. And there was just an air of, as if it'd been a death in the community. But here we have the end of an era, a major manufacturing sector, which we cannot for the life of us see a way of getting that type, that quality of jobs back here. I was listening to the news bulletin this morning. This is on a par to the end of the shipbuilding era, the end of the linen industry, end of our key stable industries in Northern Ireland. And I'm not going to say I told you so, but I have been warning about this, that there's going to be consequences if we pursue particular types of regulation. Look, I'm the first to acknowledge smoking kills. Smoking is a dangerous product. Smoking is something which we know requires significant and does have significant regulation. But when you over-regulate the product, that has an impact. I warned about this. Philip Morris, a competing company, when that happened to them, when there was over-regulation in one of their plants in Australia, what did they do? They pulled the plug on their entire Asian market and moved their production to another part of Asia where there was less regulation. This today is a signal from the industry that they cannot cope with over-regulation of their product, and as a result, it impacts on jobs. Does it impact on health? Will anyone today stop smoking as a result of this regulation? And the answer, unfortunately, is no. Yet this regulation is about addressing the health of the nation, and that is a sad reality.
We're going to talk about the whole issue around regulation a little bit later, but there are other issues as well that were pointed out in the JTI statement in terms of you know, the financial overheads, obviously, in terms of they can produce these products cheaper elsewhere and potentially Poland and Romania. It's not as if they're leaving Europe. In terms of what can be done, I mean, is this irreversible, you feel? This is done and dusted. There's no way back.
Well, there is a consultation period now, and certainly I've already met with unions last night. I'm meeting again with the unions later this morning. A union rep is coming with me to meet with executive ministers at 11 o'clock. We're going to actually say, here are the needs. First of all, here's the skill needs. Are there going to be alternative jobs found and put in place for these workers? And we've got about a year and a half, 2 years to try and find those places. So we've got good early warning to do that. That's going to be one of the things. The idea, can an international corporation be turned around from this strategy? Significantly.
We're having a problem now with Ian Paisley's phone. I think Alan's phone's back up and working. At least we've got one going again. Alan, I was going to come to you and ask you, we've spoken about, you know, the direct effects of this. Saw some shopkeepers in the borough who were interviewed, and obviously the fear is that, you know, that this close to 60 million figure in terms of salaries and wages that was coming into most of the employees who lived in the general vicinity of Ballymena town centre. And obviously the concern's going to be that that's a big hole to fill in terms of money that's maybe being spent in other businesses in the town. So that's a secondary factor now.
Well, absolutely. No, this will have wide-ranging impact on Ballymena and beyond. And there are a lot of very concerned businesses in Ballymena this morning. A lot of employees at Gallagher's now will maybe look to postpone that holiday or not buy that TV, washing machine. They might go out once a month to eat in a local restaurant rather than two. So there's so much unknown at the minute, and that's where we are. This 90-day consultation period, we'll have to let that pan out, and at the end of that, we'll have a clear indication of exactly where we are and the impact it's going to have.
What happens now, Alan, in terms of those wider problems and those wider implications? What's your gut feeling?
It will have an impact. There's obviously no doubt about that.
We're talking about other business closures here as a result, do you feel?
I wouldn't say that initially. Now, I don't want any sort of knee jerk, you know, response to this. It will have an impact, but everyone has to start thinking now. When May 2016 comes along, exactly where their business is going to be as well, and that is the challenge locally for all business owners.
I mean, it is a worry, isn't it, Ian Paisley, for those other businesses? You have this sort of this date on the looming on the horizon, and this massive period of uncertainty probably up to it.
Yeah, I mean, Alan's absolutely right. Look, let's look what the impact is. About £57 million into the local wage economy after, certainly by 2017, is gone forever. Now, you just have to take a look around the car park of JTI. Car dealers will be affected by this. Mortgages will be affected by this. Kids' clothes will be affected by this. Ballymena prides itself in being the best shopping town in Northern Ireland. Where was this money spent? This money was spent in that shopping town. Those things go, that impacts on businesses. And Alan will know that. Alan will know that the Chamber has real problems now as a result of this, and we have to work with the Chamber and make sure that we address the wider needs that will now be affected.
What can you do? I mean, what are you thinking in terms of things that can be done to help the wider issues?
Well, I mean, the wider issues, first of all, the skill base is there. I mean, these people are paid very, very high wages. Why are they paid high wages? Because they're incredibly skilled workers and artisans. It's trying to find that level of employment, because that brings with it a high wage economy. And I mean, the workers in here are regularly higher wages than school teachers. So very, very high quality jobs, very, very well paid jobs. When that goes out of the economy, that has a significant impact on the economy. And so we need to try, and that's why Invest Northern Ireland, I'm speaking to them and saying, look, if there's other job expansions in the manufacturing sector, and Ballymena has about 22% of Northern Ireland's entire manufacturing base, we need to get more of that quality of jobs back to Northern Ireland. But it's hard to see where they'll come from. Now, we're making great roads in terms of precision engineering. We're making great roads with, look at Wrightbus, a neighbouring company. They're expanding. Is there opportunities there if we can encourage that company to bid for other world contracts? Can we get more employment established in that locality and then the spin-off industries from that and the composite industry? Because that's the type of jobs that these men and women who work in the factory are well skilled to actually do. So we've got to really try and find those alternatives, but that's an incredibly difficult and competitive market. And lowering a corporation tax, I mean, one of the points I made to the company when I met with them and having met with them, Northern Ireland lowers its corporation tax to 10%. Would that keep the company here? It doesn't. This company already pays lower tax than that because of the way it's set up as a world company. So, you know, we've got to do things which show that it's our skilled workers and the quality of the product which they produce can only be done in Northern Ireland. And that leaves us with a very, very narrow field of where we can get these types of jobs.
Stay with us if you can, Ian Paisley. Davy Thompson's from the Union Unite, which represents most of the workers at the Ballymena plant. Davy Thompson, how are you feeling this morning? What are you hearing? What have you heard sort of in the course of the last 24 hours from many of your members?
Just a sense of utter disbelievement at this moment in time. We certainly were expecting some indication around this time of the year with regards to the impact of the back of product legislation. The issue for us is that that will only impact on around 40% of the work on site, and our concern is why we'll have to close the entire place down. The other 60% of jobs go with it. It's our opinion that that's only in relation to the cost-saving exercise that the restructuring is now bringing about.
Do you think anything could have been done to prevent this?
Well, the directive certainly hasn't helped, but really, in real terms, to me, and it would appear quite clearly, when you look, the other two states impacted is Germany and Belgium. And the UK's got a decision they made to move to low-cost producing.
So you think this idea of it, of being about, you know, the European Union and the directives are around, you know, safer smoking and what the changes that we're going to see around, you know, the health warnings on packages have to be a certain size and you can't have a packet that's smaller than 20. Do you think that's a bit of a red herring, or do you think it is a contributory factor?
We believe it's contributory, but we believe it's also an excuse that the company has used to now move to low-cost producers.
Ian Paisley?
I think we have to be more realistic than that. And I've spoke with the unions, and I've met with the unions on this. I watched this company over the last 10 years invest over £100 million into particular lines, very, very specific machinery. In fact, I was in the company about a month ago, and they were actually assembling in the roll-your-own-product assembly line a brand-new piece of machinery. All of that machinery, as a result of this directive, after 2017, is made redundant. Now Davey's right. Then turn around and say, well, then let's just keep manufacturing the rest of the material that we manufacture there. But when the company has to then take that loss and try and then move that machinery and that equipment elsewhere in Europe and make up for it, they're going to look at the entire economic picture and say, that's not feasible. We will move the entire production. And this just hasn't affected Ulster. This is affecting all of the European production line in Germany and in Belgium and in Northern Ireland. The whole shebang goes. That's a very expensive decision to make, and it's being forced upon us by the European directive. And that's why I was adamant from 2009 onwards, look at the consequences. Workers in my constituency are going to get this in the neck. And with people out there championing and saying this would not affect Northern Ireland, I've got emails from one of Northern Ireland's MEPs telling other MEPs this will not affect Northern Ireland at all. And I was saying, but it will. This will put men out of work. And today we're reaping the whirlwind of that email because men are now going to lose their jobs because of it. And, you know, the company, I suppose, from a large degree, was in borrowed time because this product was under so much attack. But ultimately, by stopping this directive, we would have given the company another 5-10 years, and that's 60 million quid a year into the wage economy for another 10 years. We now see that we were left with 2 years of that kind of harvest, and that's a really, really difficult situation now for us to deal with and to try and find the alternative employment for it. I think we have to look at that bigger economic picture. Smuggling also has a huge impact on this trade.